The message is short and simple that I'm going to give on Friday. It's that your friends are going to burn in hell. Just kidding, that's a joke. I'm not really going to say that. Hey, my name is AJ, and I have lived in Arizona for a couple of years. I'm originally from San Diego, which I kind of did that backwards. Should have lived here and then moved to San Diego. But now I'm officially a Zoni, who people in Southern California despise, all of us, because we go and flood the beaches every spring break and summer. But it's okay. I'm one of you now. We can do this together. But one of the greatest things that I did while I was in San Diego, I went to a school called Point Loma Nazarene, small private Christian school, university. And I have a funny story to share with you from when I was there. Is that cool? Can I share that with you guys? Okay. So when I went to Point Loma, a lot of my friends were psych students. And so as psych majors, they would perform a lot of different tests, surveys, things like that, and they would rely on university students to come and take the tests because you didn't get paid, you didn't really get anything for it. And so my friends, in fact, two of my roommates in college, they were both psych majors, so they would always volunteer me and say, hey, AJ, can you come and take this test, whatever. So I said, sure. This one day in particular, they said, come and take this test, it's going to be super easy. It's a IQ test. And so I thought, oh, cool, I think I'm pretty smart. So they had me come in, and I sat down in this room, and there was a puzzle, and I had to try and figure out how to solve the puzzle. And you only had 2 minutes. So I tried, I didn't get it. And so they came back in and they said, okay, AJ, you're done, but we need to go back and analyze your results because you'll still get a score. So they said, just stay in the room. There's magazines, you can kind of hang out and just read those. There's also some candy and drinks over here if you want, help yourself. And so I thought, okay, cool. So they shut the door and I was in there by myself, and I had my backpack, and my backpack was pretty empty. And I was also thinking about when I was about to go back to my room, I didn't have any food in my fridge and really didn't have anything to drink. So I took my backpack and I went over to the table with the food, and I kind of looked around and there was no one in there. And I just went like this, and I just scooped it all into my backpack. And I just stuffed my backpack full of all of the food. I mean, it was free, right? So I just figured, why not? I'll just take all of it. So a couple minutes goes by and my friend comes back and he says, sweet, AJ, you're done. You can go. And I thought, okay, sweet. And so left and went back to the dorm room. And so anyway, I'm going to pause there. I'm going to finish that story in a second. But there's something important about what I did. My backpack, for all intents and purposes, was empty. My fridge back home was empty. And I wonder if sometimes this is true for any of you, that imagine if your backpack, if this backpack was kind of represented your life. And there's times in your life where maybe you feel empty inside, or you're trying to accomplish something, you're trying to get something. So you fill it with things that you think will make you happy. When I was in high school, here's the things that I filled my life with. So the first was sports. I thought, if I could be a great athlete, then maybe I'll make it in high school. This isn't mine, I swear. But, you know, maybe for some of you, high school is all about looking good, or junior high or high school, or just appearances in general, looking good. This is my yearbook. Maybe if only I was involved in as many clubs as possible, or was an all-around just good student, then maybe I would make it. Well, for some of us, maybe it's band. This is a flute. This also is not mine. But believe that or not. Maybe you think if you had all the coolest, newest technology that you would make it. Oh, here's another. This one's a tough one. Maybe partying or filling your life with things that are harmful. Maybe that would bring you life. So these were all things that, for me, my backpack was my survival kit. This is how I survive. This represents my life. These are the things that I would turn to, that I thought, if only I could fill my life with these things will make me happy. And it reminds me a little bit, how many of you have ever watched the TV show The Walking Dead? Any of you? Okay, sweet. A few of you, or a good number of you. Okay, so you remember in season 4, the whole premise of this season is they are getting to this place called Terminus. You guys remember this? Okay, so spoiler alert, Terminus. It's this place where these people who they have escaped the zombies, they're running for their lives, and they hear about this place called Terminus, and it's supposed to be a safe haven. In fact, there's all these signs and stories, radio broadcasts that are being told, and they say, if you arrive, you will survive. If you make it to Terminus, you will survive. Is that true? For those of you who've seen the show, what happens? Yeah, it's okay. We can spoil it. It was a lie. It wasn't the case. It may have used to have been true, but it was no longer true. In fact, if you showed up at Terminus, it was pretty much a death sentence. They threw you in these cars. They locked you up. You became a prisoner. And I wonder if that is true, if that was true in the show. If you arrive, you survive. That was a lie. Just like these things are a lie. Just like all of these things. Now, some of them are good. Like being a good student, that's not a bad thing. Trying to be a good athlete, that's not a bad thing. Drinking and partying certainly is not a healthy behavior. But all these things, like if this becomes the one thing that you are like really searching for, like this is all you're going to live for, it's not going to bring you hope. In fact, the world says, fulfill your life with all of these things and you'll be satisfied. But it's a lie, just like The Walking Dead, if you arrive, you survive, was also a lie. Okay, so let me go back to my story. So fast forward, when I was in college, fast forward 2 years, it's been 2 years since I took that test. And we were sitting around one day around a bonfire. My friend who had helped administer the test, he goes, hey, AJ, remember that one time that you took that test when we were in college? And I said, well, which one? And he said, you know, the one where you had to fill out this puzzle. And I said, oh, yeah, okay, I vaguely remember what you're talking about. And he said, did you know that there was a two-way mirror in that room? And I kind of paused for a second, and I didn't really quite understand. And I said, well, what do you mean, Rob? And he goes, we were watching you the whole time. We were like a foot from you. And I don't know if you remember, but you took all of our candy. You took all of our soda. And there was a part of me that wanted to laugh, but the real part of me was mortified. Because even though they had said it was free, I mean, it really wasn't a big deal, right, that I took it all, except that it showed maybe some truth behind who I was. And my friends got a real glimpse of the true AJ, the real AJ. And so I wonder, what would happen if we put up a two-way mirror in this room? What if you were standing right here and you held a two-way mirror and you flipped it around and all of your friends, your parents, your teachers, they could all see the real you? Now from the outside, I mean, this looks like a pretty sweet group of people. Like, you guys look like students that I would want to hang out with. But I know that maybe in this room, certainly probably some of your friends, there's things that you guys are putting in your backpack or things that your friends are putting in their backpacks that you would not want others to see. So this morning what we're going to do, we're going to spend just a couple more minutes and we're going to look, we're going to put that two-way mirror up on a story in Scripture where Jesus encounters a man who he tried to fill his life with absolutely everything. And he got to a point where he was completely out of control. So if you want to grab Bibles, you can. We're going to look at Mark chapter 5 right at the beginning. And this is what it says. And if it's a different version than yours, that's okay. So it says this. So they arrived on the other side of the lake in the country of the Gerasenes. Okay, let me pause there really quick. Who did Jesus spend the most amount of his time with? Do you guys know? They're his friends. What do we call them? The disciples. That's right. So Jesus and his disciples, they would travel. Oftentimes they would walk from one town to the next. But in this case, they had just gotten on a boat and they had traveled across the Sea of Galilee. Now, if you don't know, the Sea of Galilee is a lake that sits, it's a body of water that sits at the bottom of these mountains. And wind would come down and it would stir up these crazy storms. So the disciples and Jesus, they're in a boat. You guys are probably familiar with this story, right? This crazy storm picks up. The disciples all fear for their lives. Jesus calms the storm. You guys remember this? Like, they almost die. Jesus and his friends, they almost die. So this is what happens right before we get to this story that we're now reading. So back to Mark chapter 5. This is what it says. As Jesus was getting out of the boat, a man in the grip of an evil spirit rushed out to meet him from among the tombs where he was living. First point, I would have bolted right at this point. I mean, like, this is, imagine if zombies were real, which, you know, they're not. Again, spoiler alert, if you didn't know that, just like Santa. But imagine, picture what a zombie looks like. That's this guy. He's, like, basically represents death. and he comes running towards Jesus and his friends. And instead of bolting the other way, like you and I probably would have done, Jesus continues on. As Jesus encounters them, this is what we're told. It was no longer possible for any human being to restrain this man, even with a chain. He had frequently been secured with fetters and links of chain, but he had simply snapped the chains, broken the fetters in pieces. No one could do anything with him. All through the night and daytime, he would scream, and he would also cut himself with stones. This guy was out of control. Now, I wonder if we pause there for a second, if this might be true for you or any of your friends, that maybe they are completely out of control. Now, for some of you, you're kind of like, AJ, seriously, I got my life together, I'm a pretty good person, so are my friends, we don't do anything crazy. And I would just say this, let's not be deceived and think that this guy got here overnight. In fact, the truth is, he probably was like searching for all these different things. He was putting these things in his backpack that he thought would give him life, and slowly he started putting things that were destructive in his life. And at, you know, the first, okay, whatever, you know, I went to one party, wasn't a big deal. Drank a little bit, wasn't a big deal. You know, was in a relationship with a person that I probably shouldn't have been in, not a big deal. But all of a sudden, these things start adding up, and they add up, and they add up. And slowly, day after day, year after year, all of a sudden, there's a tipping point. When while it happens slowly at first, then all of a sudden, you're completely out of control. So even if this isn't true for you or your friends now, if we live by these patterns of behavior where we're trying to fill ourselves, our lives, our backpacks, with anything else, we're going to be left empty. And potentially, depending on the type of behavior, left out of control. The man comes to Jesus and he screams at him and he says, Jesus, what do you want to do? Don't torture me. But then he begs Jesus and he says, please get rid of these evil spirits that live within me. So that's exactly what Jesus did. And he heals this man, and what's cool is if you continue on reading the story, this guy ends up wanting to follow Jesus just like the disciples, and Jesus said, no, go back and tell the townspeople what happened. And so he goes back, and the townspeople don't believe him at first because he looks completely different now, but he ends up being a great witness to all of an entire town. Jesus wants to do the same thing for you and me. Jesus wants to be the answer. When we try and stuff our backpacks full of anything else, Jesus is saying, stop running. Stop trying just to survive. In The Walking Dead, that's all that they are trying to do. They're simply just trying to survive. And for many of us in junior high and high school, it's all about just trying to survive. How can I get through the next day? But Jesus is saying, no, I don't want you just to survive. I want you to actually thrive. But the only way we can do that is if we let Jesus take this backpack for us. If we are willing to give it up and let him carry it. And the best thing is that lie, the trap of if you arrive with grades, if you arrive with the best, coolest stuff, if you arrive at being involved in all those things don't provide life. But the best thing about with Jesus, which is different than any other religion out there, is that you don't have to arrive. Jesus is coming to you. Jesus shows up. Jesus is pursuing you. There's two takeaways that I think are important in this passage. The first is this. Remember how I told you Jesus and his disciples almost get caught in a storm? They almost die? So right after this encounter with this man, right after Jesus heals him, they take off. They don't even stay in the town. They don't talk to anyone else. They just leave. And what I love about that is Jesus was willing to risk it all for this one guy. He was willing to put himself and his friends in danger just to go after this one guy. And that's true for you and me today. He cares about all of us, but most importantly, he cares about you. He cares about you. He cares about you. Each of you as individuals. Second thing that I love, and I think this is probably the most important thing for you and your friends, Jesus doesn't tell the man, he doesn't give him a list of things that he has to change first before he's going to help heal him. He doesn't say, like, you need to go take a shower, you need to clean up, you need to stop doing these things, you need to stop cutting yourself, you need to stop yelling at people. He doesn't say any of that. He just simply takes the man as he is. And that's true for you, and that's true for me. We get to show up just as we are. messed up, screwed up, broken people who try and do everything else but put Jesus first. We get to just show up. And that's what I love about Jesus. So my hope is for us as we leave that that can ring true for all of you. That if for any chance that, that this might be you, that you might be living a life that's spiraling out of control, you just got to show up. Or you don't actually have to show up. Jesus will show up, and you just have to be able to receive it. And for your friends, that's true as well. You don't have to do anything. What I would say is keep showing up here. Keep showing up to events like the zombie apocalypse on Friday night. Great ways for you to get to know and build a relationship with Jesus more. So let me pray, and then your leaders have questions for you guys. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this awesome day. Thank you for all these incredible students who are here. I pray as we ask these hard questions and unpack this story, that there would be something for each of us that we could take away. Thank you that we don't have to do anything, that you want to pursue each and every one of us and be in a relationship with us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, leaders.